Amen. All right, so we're going to go. Let me get my notes. I'll be totally lost without them. No, not really. But anyway, so we went over, I'm going to reiterate just a little bit. We went over baptism, what constitutes scriptural baptism, and also why baptized by immersion. Bible teaches it, amen. Who has the authority to baptize? But with that point, we did cover point A of that, but I want to back up just a hair, and I want us to see some verses. And the first one being, I want us to go to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 6. Book of Luke, chapter 6. When you get there, say amen. All right. I don't think you're there that quick, but anyway. All right, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for this opportunity to be in your house again this evening. Lord, and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds. Give us discernment. Help us to understand. Help us to use it, Lord, to further your work. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 6. Verse 12, it said, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, that's Jesus, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. I want to tell you, at Jesus started, and if you want to look it up, you can look at John chapter. Well, you know what? We could go to John chapter 1 real quick. The book of John chapter 1. Jesus started the church on the seashores of Galilee, and really here's the beginning. And if you go into the total Greek wording of it and all that, ecclesia, it's being called out. And it's considered the church. John chapter 1, verse 35, could be on page 1116. Some of you got that one. Anyway, John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, and again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. Now these were two of John's disciples. John the Baptist. Yep, John the Baptist, his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. He was pointing to John the Baptist, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the one that was with Andrew was John, who wrote the Bible, wrote the book of John. He never mentions his name when he's writing in his book. The Gospel of John. You won't find his name mentioned. He'll say that other disciple. He don't use his own name. Him and Andrew was who was standing with John the Baptist. And he called him. He said, come and see. And they went and dwelt with him. And one of the two, of course, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is in by interpretation a stone. Now the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And he saith unto him, follow me. Well, Philip got up and followed him. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said of him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. Now, this is where he called not his apostles. They later became apostles, but he called them as disciples, and they followed him. And no doubt, let's go back to the book of Luke. No doubt more and more followed him. Luke chapter 6. There was more and more of them followed him, and Jesus went up into a mountain. He prayed. He prayed all night long about it. Now, let me throw this in there. If one of these days I'm driving down the road and a bird comes flying in my window and kills me, you're going to be looking for a pastor. And so you need to get serious and you need to pray about it. Not just, well, Lord, send us a pastor. All right, let's see if we can find one. No, you need to be real serious about it and you need to pray about it the same way Jesus done here. He went up into a mountain. He prayed all night long. He was serious about what he was about to do. And you need to get serious with praying to God. And it said, verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them, now it doesn't tell us how many there was. There could have been 10, there could have been 15, there could have been 35. Doesn't really say, but nonetheless, out of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, and it gives their names. That was his church, not just the apostles, but the disciples, all of those disciples. That was the church. Now, let's look at a couple other verses. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And then we're going to get back on the baptism part. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, and we'll begin in verse 13, said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Oh, John was already dead by then. Some, Elias, that's Isaiah, I mean Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Now, what did he call Peter or tell Peter he was going to be? A stone. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, pointing at himself, because a stone ain't a rock. Jesus is the rock. I don't care what the Catholics say. They're crazy anyway. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, the keys of heaven, I'm not going to get real deep into that tonight because that's a big study. But the church, the body of Christ, the church has the power, which the Lord give it to them. The church is very powerful. People do not realize how powerful the church is, especially in our day and time. When the church gets it together and they get serious, listen, things happen. Amen. And they don't give the church near the credit it should have anymore. Matthew chapter 18. Good grief. Matthew chapter 18, verse 13. He said, and if so be that he find it, no, that ain't where I want to start. Verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. There it is again. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me go here, verse 19. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But don't take that verse out of context. We got to have our hearts right for that to take place. If we come in here and listen, I've been in some churches back in the East, and not just because they're in the East, but that's where I was at. And listen, you could have hung a hog in there. It was so cold. Miserable. And you could tell there was a big split right down the middle. Listen, the Lord ain't in the midst of that. He's not there. He tells you, if you ain't got it together, if you got a problem with your brother or your sister in Christ, go get it right. Amen. And if Lori won't listen to you, well, I'll take John and we'll go talk to Lori. And if she won't listen, I'll bring it before the church. Amen. And if she don't want to get it together, boot her out. Throw her out there in the midst. Listen, there's a great protection being in the Lord's church. Amen. And when you release somebody from that protection, basically in Corinthians, Paul says, turn them out for the destruction of the flesh. You put them out there, they're free game for the devil. You take them out from under the protection of the church. That's why I'm so careful about church discipline. You can't just boot folk out. You've got to be careful what you're doing. You got to pray about that. You got to be serious with it, and you got to work with them, and hopefully they'll get it together. Because when you turn them out of the protection of the church, man, they're free game. And by the way, when you turn them out, you don't turn your back on them. You pray for them. And the person that Paul told him to turn out, he got back in. Because he got his life right. If you study Corinthians, you find that out. Anyway, all right. Now let's go. Who has the authority to baptize? God instituted baptism, and the scriptures reveal a chain of authority for its administration, for the church's administration. John the Baptist, we'll go back through this really quickly, this little bit here. John the Baptist is the first link of that chain of authority. John 1:6 and Mark 1:4 tells you that God sent John the Baptist and he was to baptize. Jesus, somewhere around 40, 60, 70 miles, he walked to go get baptized by John. And he did that and was baptized by John. And then from that point on, Jesus started his church. That's when he started his ministry. And he gathered those disciples together. And then out of those, he chose the 12 because they were going to do some special work for him. But nonetheless, he had all of those. That's how he started it. And Jesus had all authority. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, we're going to see Jesus had all the authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had all the power given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he said this right here, and this is, we call this the Great Commission. Because he gave that commission to his church. Not just a group. Listen, if it was just to the apostles, which I've had people argue that with me. Here, let me read this. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that's telling them the gospel of Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then teaching them, discipling them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All of those books in here, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, that's what he was talking about. Teach them these things. How in the world are we going to know how and when to administer the Lord's Supper if we don't read the Bible? It tells you how. We'll get into that. As my mom used to say, directly. That meant in a little while. Could have been anywhere from 30 minutes to 5 weeks. But anyway. Jesus had all the power. Now, if I've had people tell me, well, that was to the apostles. Well, if that was to the apostles, then why in the world do we go out and, hey, brother, fellow, you ever trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Why would I do that? I wasn't told to if it was the apostles. Ain't my job. It was the apostles' job. And by the way, we don't have any apostles anymore. And so I guess it just stopped. We ain't supposed to go. No. It was given to his church that didn't start on the day of Pentecost. The church started with Jesus. As he walked along the seashore of Galilee, he gathered them. And that day, they had a treasure. He was a devil. No offense, Brother Tony. He was a devil, but nonetheless, he was a treasure. They had business meetings. They thought about it. They talked about it. They did that in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 before the Holy Spirit empowered the church. But nonetheless, we'll go on what we're doing. So Jesus gave the authority to the church to go out and preach the gospel. Lead people to Christ, bring them in and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which, by the way, you ain't got to have that to get to heaven. Don't ever let anybody tell you. If they do, they're lying. You'll go to heaven without getting baptized. Baptizing you does not save you. But nonetheless, I think you know that. All right, how many baptism, any comments, questions? So the Lord gave the church the power. He empowered the church on the day of Pentecost. That's what that was. That was an empowerment, not starting the church. You can't add to something unless you already had something to add to, right? And that's what it plainly states in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, it said this many people got saved and was added unto. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist,
But I don't plainly see that. But there, we got some theologians, and I honestly read after some of them, that don't get that. I ain't figured that out, Brother John. But anyway, maybe I need to write a book. Everybody on Fox News writes a book. I ought to. So he give. And by the way, there's two offices in the church. What are they? Pastor and deacons. There's two ordinances in the church: baptism, Lord's Supper. We'll be getting into Lord's Supper here, as I said earlier, directly. That falls under the directly. How many baptisms are there? Well, I've been told there's lots of it. Anyway, go to Ephesians chapter 4, because this just flat out gives you the answer. You don't even have to wonder. If you go to the scripture for the answer, it'll tell you what you need to know. Chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 5 says, let's start with verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. By the way, who's the book of Ephesians written to? Who? Church. The church at Ephesus. Listen, it was written to a church for a purpose. They needed to understand that. I can promise you they read the book of Ephesians in Corinth. They read the book of Ephesians in Galatia. When they got all that down pat, when they got that letter, and it was passed around to the churches. Verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one what? Baptism. There's one baptism. God recognizes no other baptism. He don't recognize any other baptism. There's one baptism, which is by immersion, underwater, back up again. All right, Acts. Let's go to Acts 19. And we're doing good. Acts chapter 19. That's usually right before 20. All right. God recognizes no other baptism. Acts chapter 19, 1 through 5, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, after John, that is, on Jesus Christ. That's who you're supposed to believe on, Christ Jesus, not John the Baptist. They were believing on John the Baptist. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if John had baptized these men, they would have known about the Holy Spirit. They'd understood that. Let's go to Matthew. We got lots of scripture. That's good, though. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now you gotta, well, we'll go to that in a minute. It was impossible for John to have baptized these people. John had been dead at that time for 23 years. He was put in prison, and he was killed a few months after Christ had been baptized. Now, John, he never left the Holy Land, but these people were up in Turkey. They were in Asia Minor. That's basically where Turkey is, and that's hundreds of miles away. They had no clue. That's why they got baptized. They got saved, no doubt. They accepted the Lord. Apollos probably could have baptized these people. It's a possibility, but we don't know that for certain. And Acts 18:24 kind of hints on that. The reason God did not recognize this baptism is because Apollos did not have church authority. So let's go look at Acts 18:24. Because I don't want to get confused. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. You know, I've been called that one time. When I was shoeing horses, I showed up. I showed up. I was there in Colorado and where my business was. And I had, it was cold. And I had on this nice wool vest and my big old scarf on. And I show up there. And this guy named Pino, he was a super old man. I really liked him. He was, he had been in the Holocaust. And he says, "Well, my Jim," he said, "you sure look eloquent today." And I thought, you know, Pino, I've been called many things. But anyway, eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus. Now, let's go to 18:25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So there's a big possibility that he could have been the one that baptized these guys. Now, Paul, but he didn't have the authority through the church. And by the way, if you read on down, you'll find out that Aquila and, Priscilla and Aquila kind of took him to the side and talked to him. And I think he got things right. He was trying. You got to hand that to him. Now, Paul had church authority, so God recognized his baptism. Let's go to Acts 13. Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Barney was there, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, hung out with rough people, and Saul, which was Paul, by the way, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So what you have here, what a picture here, is they were at the church in Antioch, Paul and Barney and Saul at that time. And they're working, they're serving the Lord, and they're doing it. Matter of fact, right before that, they were called Christians. As a derogatory, but that's what they were called. They were called Christians because they were acting like Christ. But they were working through, in and through the church. And when you're working in and through the church, as I was years ago, I was working in and through the church, and all of a sudden, the Lord laid it on somebody's heart. They laid it on somebody's heart, and they got in touch with me, and I ended up in Henderson, Nevada. Because that's how the Lord works. That's the way He does things. He sent, the church sent me out. You can't just walk out the house one day and say, "You know what, I'm going to just go start a church." Well, you can, but it's not going to be a scriptural church. It don't work that way. Same thing, some of these guys that left the Catholic Church and they started some of these other churches we know about. Listen, they're not scriptural churches. Yes, they may preach. I went to a Southern Methodist church one time. Got kind of conned into it. I actually preached here one time. Got conned into that one too. But anyway, and they needed to hear it anyhow. But I went there and listened to a guy preach. Let me tell you something. The man preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You sat there listening to him. You know that, listen, you get saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.
But they got a lot of other problems. And they don't mind pouring water on your head or a little sprinkle. You know, you're supposed to be dumb. But nonetheless, they'll do that too for you. But they weren't started right. These people come out of the Catholic Church. Listen, down through the years, people have come from Jesus, from the apostles. And Lord, I've got stacks of papers from research of all of the names that the Baptists have been called. They've been called Christians. They've been called Montanists, Dontanists, Albigenses, Anabaptists, all the way down through the line. They've never belonged to any other group of people. That's one reason. I'm not a Baptist because Baptists are perfect. Trust me, ain't none of us perfect. I'm a Baptist because they follow this right here closer than anybody else I know. And not all of the Baptists do. They got one up there in Louisville, Kentucky now that'll ordain a homosexual. I got problems with that, okay? But so does God. But anyway, so we find out that Paul had authority. It was given to him from the church at Antioch. They sent him out. They laid hands on him and said, listen, they didn't lay hands on him and give him some kind. They laid hands on him, approved. When I got ordained, there was 30-something, somewhere close to 40 pastors there that approved of my ordination. And then when I was sent out, they all approved of that. I show up down here, and I've told you jokingly, I go down to Bellagio, and if I did, I'd win. I'd win, just sure as the world, the biggest win that Vegas has ever seen. And I promise you, I'd be getting some phone calls. Brother Jim, we're going to pull your ordination. We don't approve of you. I can understand that. They approved of me, and they stamped their seal of approval on me and sent me out from that church. And that's the way it's supposed to work. One of these days, we organize into a church, and we've got somebody that comes up in the midst of us and says, the Lord surrendered. Well, we got one right here. I've surrendered to preach. That's what the Lord wants me to do. Where he's going to go from there, I don't know. He may be the pastor wagon wheel one day. I'll leave that up to God. But one day, we might send him out to Honduras. He does speak Spanish real well. So one day, the Lord may lay it on his heart and say, I want you and your wife, Ramona, to go to Honduras. Mexico. You never know. You got to leave that to the Lord. But we'll send them out. And then they're doing it the way it's supposed to be done, scripturally. And he'll have the authority to baptize. All right. Questions? Comments, complaints. We're doing good. What will baptism do for us? Gives you all kind of pop. No. Baptism puts us in a position, really, to serve God and robes us with Christ. That's what it does. Jesus did. You know, I know the little movies and the storybooks. Oh, there's a little bird got hurt when Jesus was about 13, and he picked it up and rubbed it, and it flew off. He healed it. What a miracle. That didn't happen. Jesus was just like us. He grew up, and yeah, he was busy listening to him at 12 years old. He was in the temple, but he didn't do no miracles until after he was baptized. That's when he went to service. That's the way we're supposed to do. We got to follow his example. Galatians 3:27. Galatians chapter 3. That's somewhere in the Bible. No, it's right after 2 Corinthians. If you get to Ephesians, back up a hair. Galatians 3:27, chapter 3, verse 27. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, we got saved, and when we were baptized, it's kind of like
it's a stamp of approval now, and I'm going to lead you into service. And that's what takes place. A person gets saved, they get baptized. If they're in the right church, they're getting discipled. And then he says, you know what, I'm going to use you. You know, Jose came here. He didn't know the Lord's his Savior. Sit right over here. He's sick tonight. And trust me, if Jose's out of church, he's sick. That or out of town. He don't feel good, so he's at home. He came here and he listened. And finally he come up to me one morning. He said, I need to talk with you. We went right in that room right there. And we talked, and he trusted the Lord as his Savior. Amen. He didn't become a deacon that afternoon. He got baptized right back here. I dumped him, held him down. I tried to hold him down, sister, but he stopped. He come up out of the water, and from that day forward, I watched Jose grow in the Lord. And he's just like the rest of us. We've all got a lot of growing to do. But he's growing in the Lord. He's a deacon here now. The Lord has done what he said, but he don't put you to service till you take that step. Now, John demanded repentance and faith before baptism. When we read in Matthew chapter 3 and 7 and 8, it tells you that he demanded repentance and faith. Then he baptized. Well, hey, we're the same way. The thief on the cross was saved without baptism, so it ain't nothing. They didn't pull that dude down and run dump him real quick and then went and hung him back up. Listen, baptism, I've had people, baptism, you got to get baptized to get to heaven. No, you don't. But you got to get baptized to serve the Lord to where it counts with the Lord. The Philippian jailer, he was saved without baptism. He got baptized later that evening or that morning, but nonetheless, he was saved. Guess who started? Whoa, I can't tell you all that. Well, I'll tell you part of it. We got a sermon coming up about Philippians. There was a gal named Lydia and a jailer. They were the first church in Philippi. We had a fairly wealthy woman and a jailer. But not only did we have a fairly wealthy woman and a jailer, but we also had a lady that had a demon for a while. And Paul cast the demon. She was part of the church. Listen, church is full of all kinds of people. Don't ever think you're bad, too bad to be in the church or too good. All right, where was that? And I'm going to have to quit. I don't know where I was at now. It's somewhere right here. There it is. Baptism is a work of righteousness, but salvation is not by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when we get saved, now we're going to work. We don't work to get saved. We're going to work after we're saved. That's the first step of obedience, is baptism to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to have to stop there because that was really under who can be baptized. Only believers really can be baptized. Anybody can be baptized, but it's like a little meme I saw. I think I mentioned it earlier, and I don't understand all of it, but this lady said, I was baptized, and this little cat sitting there, and he said, you just a wet devil? Apparently she wasn't saved. if we get baptized before salvation, we just got wet. You're still a child of the devil. To be a child of God, we've got to be baptized. And that's what happens after someone gets saved, is they trust the Lord in baptism. All right, next week we're going to pick up in my notes right there. And we'll continue into that. Trust me, directly is we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. So we pretty much covered what I was wanting to cover. Let's stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation tonight. And then we'll have a business meeting here shortly. But